My life growing up, I accepted Christ at age 5, so I don't remember much before that. But when my Sunday school teacher talked about Christ, and then later that evening, I talked to my parents about it, and then they helped me talk to me about it, and then helped me accept Christ into my life. And then ever since, I've been pursuing a relationship with Him. It started off with just a small little bit of trust and faith, and then have been growing the past couple of years through Vertigo and camp and mission trips. In a relationship with Christ, it is an awesome feeling to have someone loving you. God is faithful because when I want to come to him for my issues or things I'm having trouble with, I can pray to him or ask him for help through my schoolwork or sports. So some things that are different in my life would be that I'm more outgoing and kind towards others, and I want to pursue like relationship with others at a more deeper level, not just for their friendship, but also to eventually show Christ to them. If other people are on the fence about receiving Christ, I would say definitely do it, because it's a life-changing thing, and you always have God that's loving, and you can come to Him at any point in your life.
Awesome. Well, welcome again to this morning, and we get to celebrate all these stories of people whose lives have been transformed by Jesus. And I said this during the first service, I think that video is the most I've ever heard Ben speak. He is a man of few words, but you know when he says something, he's thought through it, and he means what he says, and I think that that's a really cool thing that he's bringing into this moment, that he has thought through this, and he has made sure that his life is surrendered to Jesus, and that he wants everyone here to know, and to keep him accountable, and to celebrate with him as he makes this public declaration of his commitment to Jesus. So, Ben, have you surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King?
Yes.
And is it your commitment to continue to live a life surrendered to Him in the context of the local church?
Yes.
Awesome. So, Ben, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Awesome. Before I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, was very, very lonely, and I was the youngest of 5 children, and I don't know, I just kind of left to be sort of a wild child. I was raised with a moral compass from you know, books and things from church, but I didn't really have a good idea of an unconditional love from God. I just, you know, even though I had some idea of God and stories from the Old Testament and things, you know, moral things from the Bible, I just did not feel a closer personal relationship at that time. So in my life, on my own, I went to college, but I had no book of life, no instruction guide. You know, I came from Modesto, just really not knowing how to do things right, you know. And also I had a profound problem with alcohol. So that was like my only coping tool, you know, especially having very bad low self-esteem. Opening my heart to Jesus Christ has been a process, and it started about 2 years ago. One of the last treatment facilities I went to, Nirvana, we would go to the director's church in Keys. I believe it was there at that church that, you know, they had, you know, if you wanted to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know, that's when I knelt in front with another girl from the treatment place and really accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior there. And it was very meaningful, but I have to say that really, as I've been living at Redwoods for the past, it was last year, I finally moved out of there with my son. And that's, you know, that's where I really started to become closer to Christ. And I've appreciated coming to Cross Point Church. Just the music really opens my heart with the other people singing, and just the the community here is really, it just brings a really poignancy to life, and allows me to be a part of something that I really feel good about, and helps me to grow with my relationship with Jesus.
Awesome. All right, you all just got to meet Victoria. Victoria, you a little nervous?
No,
not at all. Awesome. Victoria, have you surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King?
Yes.
And have you committed to live the rest of your life surrendered to Jesus and the community of the local church?
Yes, I am.
Awesome, Victoria. Well, in your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I've been raised in a Christian home my whole life. My parents taught me about what it means to be a Christian, and when I was 8 years old, I accepted God into my life. But when I was at fifth grade camp, I truly knew what it meant for God to love me, because I truly knew that God loved me. So I decided to accept Him into my heart again, because I actually understood what it meant to live with Jesus in my heart. Before I knew how much God really, truly loved me, church was just a place I would go to learn about ancient history of the Bible and stuff. But when I truly knew what it meant for God to love me, I understood more about the Bible than I had known before. Since I actually understood what it meant to be a Christ follower, it made me interested in how I should act. And I found out that I should live like Jesus did. God's teaching me to talk to people about Him. When I was in fifth grade also, just at normal school, I had some friends who didn't believe in God, and I wanted to see them in heaven, so I decided to go up to them and talk to them about God. And I didn't really change their minds, but I prayed for them. I'd like to tell anybody who doesn't believe in God that God loved you very much, and He's forgiven all of our sins.
Mason, we're super proud of you for not only praying for your friends, but for going out and saying something to them. And after Mason shared that, I said, "Mason, was that success or failure?" And he was like, he thought about it for a second. He said, "You know, that was success." And I said, "You're absolutely right. You did exactly what God has called you to do." So, Mason, we're super proud of you, super excited to get to baptize you this morning. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King?
Yes.
And is it your commitment to live surrendered to Jesus and the community of the local church?
Yes.
Awesome. Mason, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Before I knew Christ, my life, it was a good life. I had great family and friends, and although I didn't have a relationship with Christ, both my parents believed in God, and we would go to Mass occasionally, and I just think at that point in my life I wasn't ready, and my son was born, and I just remember thinking, you know, I had prayed for a child someday, and that was something that I really, really wanted, and I just remember looking at my son like, this was a gift from God. A really good friend, Nancy Allard, asked me if I wanted to do a navigator study with her, and I thought, like, this is great, because I didn't know too much about the Bible, and I felt like I really needed some guidance. You know, at times you feel unworthy, or you feel like, I don't know, I'm not really necessarily making the right choices, and I think that was my mistake before coming to church, that I thought, this isn't really for me, I don't know, I don't think I can, like, be this perfect person, and like that's the exact opposite. He loves us no matter what, and after reading the gospel, and what Jesus did for us on the cross, it makes you just want to weep. And it just, I'm just always amazed at how much he loves us. And that I never again in my life, I will never be alone. And there's, and I'm gonna have Jesus and just giving me guidance and just knowing that I get to be with him forever.
Vienna, that truth is exactly what we get to celebrate today, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Vienna, have you surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King?
Yes.
And have you committed to live the rest of your life surrendered to Jesus and the community of the local church?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, it's on your profession of faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My life before Christ was, it was all right. Kind of came from a broken home. Lived in the country, kind of raised on a dairy by the Simar family. They were very devoted to Christ, went to church Sundays, Wednesdays, read the Bible thoroughly several times. And it wasn't until my son Cody started going to church, and I was happy about him going to church and accepting Christ into his life. When my son Cody was baptized, he kind of taught me that it was the right thing to do. And it's amazing how younger kids or your children can teach you the right way and which path to follow. There was a time where Cody and I were having a conversation, and I think I was telling him, we need to pray for some certain individual. And he said, well, Dad, you can pray too. And I said, yeah, I know. I just thought the more the better. And he said, also, Dad, he goes, do you know you don't even have to be baptized to go to heaven? All you have to do is pray and tell Jesus that you're going to devote your life to him. My relationship with Christ makes it easier for me to gives me somebody to talk to, and makes it easier for me to make choices in life that are normally difficult for me to make, and just makes it simple.
It's been a real honor to get to know Leland and his family. We get to baptize his wife in just a second, and that was his daughter-in-law that you just saw, so it's awesome. Leland, have you surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King?
Yes, I have.
And is it your commitment to live your life surrendered to him in the community of the local church?
Yes.
Awesome. Leland, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I went to church occasionally when I was young, very, very few times. Didn't enjoy it that much. Tried to start going to church a little bit more as we had children. My boys were very young. We brought them here. It was First Baptist at the time. We brought them to their little classes. I think they enjoyed that as well. We came here for a while when we had times on Sundays. I often prayed a lot during this time with family illnesses and currently. hoping that maybe I can gain some strength from that, and I hope to keep that. It might help me a little even more for future. I feel good about every time that we go to church or pray at home. I'm not sure if it's helping or getting any easier, but maybe within time it might help me out a lot. I hope more and more people within time will accept Christ into their life. I think it's a very good thing, especially nowadays. So many changes, fast pace of life. I think more of us need to have Christ in our life, definitely.
I told Christy first service that it was really encouraging to hear her faith, that even in those situations where peace or hope seem kind of slow to come, that to have that faith to look and say, okay, but I know it's out there on the horizon is such a cool thing. So Christy, have you surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King?
Yes, I have.
And have you committed to live the rest of your life surrendered to Jesus and the community of the local church?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, it's on your profession of faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My life before Christ, just constantly having highs and lows. You know, I idolized my own efforts and that I had control over everything, whether it was at school and sports. I idolized women and just constantly was always disappointed because I was never satisfied with where I was at. I've always had curiosity. In fact, I had read the Bible for the first time, a book of Genesis and a book of Mark, and I remember I was so frustrated because my family had never been involved in Christian life, and I felt like it was critical. And I recall I was so frustrated one day, and I was downstairs in the kitchen with my parents. I took a bunch of eggs and I threw it on the ground because I was so frustrated, and I cracked all the eggs everywhere. And I got scolded as a high schooler and was sent to my room, but I just remember that was kind of a result of just being so moved by the Bible. And God took that passion and he basically created this never-ending curiosity and of being or wanting to walk with Jesus. I started to accept Christ in the past 2 years, mostly starting with the marriage of my wife. Marriage had really moved me, and I really started to think, okay, Chris, you've always been curious with Jesus, and now you're married, and it became a very focal point in my life. With Jesus in my life, I've been able to connect with so many people too that share that walk with Jesus, and it's an incredible experience.
I told Chris, I really love that story of him smashing all those eggs, because I smashed a few eggs as a kid too, but unfortunately it wasn't the result of a spiritual revelation. So my excuse wasn't near as good. But Chris, have you surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King?
Yes.
And have you committed to live the rest of your life surrendered to Jesus and the community of the local church?
Yes.
Awesome. Chris, in your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My life before Christ, I don't actually feel like I ever had a life before Christ. I mean, I feel like he's kind of always been in my life. I had amazing parents, really great upbringing. Jesus was always around. We went to Sunday school. We watched VeggieTales, you know. I I just feel like Jesus was always there, and I always knew he loved me. But I feel like there is a difference between knowing of God and knowing God. But to literally put your life in Jesus' hands was a hard thought for someone who'd been so successful in their own ways. Not having control of something was very difficult. My dad got sick with cancer. The doctor just kind of said that it was really up to Jesus what was going to happen. Not really anything that we could do, which makes you feel so helpless. Because usually there are things you can do. My dad and I were very close, and so for him to get sick just felt like such a slap in the face from God. I hate to say that, but it felt like I grew bitter because it was like, this is how you treat people who follow you and do everything that they're supposed to do, and how can you do this? So instead of really trusting God, I just kind of became angry. I didn't understand, and it just felt like a cruelty. And it's so crazy that we're studying the book of Ruth right now and Naomi, because call me Mara, because I was really bitter and just decided that I couldn't trust this seemingly fickle God, like Matt said. That was very convicting. But anyway, so we'd been looking for a church, Chris and I, and he had been thirsting for God in such a great way, and Chris finally dragged me here one day, and I think it was divine because it happened to be a segment where Brianna and Michael Porter, hi guys, they had a video about life together and how it had just really, God had really helped their marriage. And I'm sitting there going, no way. This God who took my dad or whatever, he can't heal like that. We walk into life together, and the first couple to introduce themselves to us were the Porters. And I just remember, it was kind of like they were famous people, so I looked at Chris and I was like, oh my gosh, like those are the people from the video. Like, this is nuts, you know? And they were so friendly and so welcoming, and it was just crazy. So I was like, okay, maybe there is something going on here. And that day we actually split off into guys and girls, and I got into a group with Vonda and Casey Soderlund, and I shared about losing my dad, and they had recently just lost, you know, Vonda's husband Les and her father-in-law, and I just felt this instant connection with them, and they kind of guided me, and I just felt like I had instantly people who were feeling the same things that I did, and just, but they rested in Jesus instead of being super bitter. So after all of this, I'm just ready to live my life for him, not for me anymore, because it's so much better. It's not easy, don't get me wrong. I've learned a lot the last 2 years that Jesus doesn't equal perfect life, but he does equal a grace and a mercy, and he's perfect. So, and you get peace through him.
Megan, we thank you so much for being willing to share your story with us. Yeah. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King? And have you committed to live the rest of your life surrendered to Jesus and the community of the local church?
Yes.
Awesome. Megan, on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's such an honor to get to witness all these baptisms today. As their church family, we have a critical role in loving and praying for and encouraging every single one of them. So we want to take a minute to pray for them. So if you guys will go ahead and bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank you so much for the lives that you have transformed and are in the process of transforming. Lord, I thank you so much for your promise in your word that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we cling to that promise. We look forward to that promise. And it is with great joy and excitement that we look forward to the changes that you're going to continue to make in our lives and especially in the lives of those that we just baptized this morning. Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for their willingness to share their lives with us, and ask that you will continue to grow us as a church that's more and more willing to share our lives with each other. So, Father, we love you. We're so thankful for this opportunity to be together as a family, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, stand together. We want to respond to the love and the greatness of Jesus. We want to teach you a new song.
The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come, the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Evil may come, its strongest fight, but the cross has the final word.
Because 3 days later, you rose again, victorious and reigning. We love you. We commit our hearts and our minds to you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Please be seated.
Just so that no one's stomach panics, this is not a full-length sermon. So, no panicking. You know, this morning it's been so, like, overwhelming to listen to the stories of what God has done in people's lives. Like, what an incredible testimony. And what I love about this morning is that we see two things at work. We see God's pursuit of people, but we also see how God uses us in the lives of one another. Like, how cool is it that there are people in this room sitting here this morning who weren't referenced as heroes, but referenced as people who met these people on the journey and walked with them towards Jesus. Like, what an incredible thing. You know, it's interesting. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is kind of correcting some wrong perspective in the church in Corinth, because people were starting to have these arguments with each other about who is more influential and who's more important, that like was part of their salvation story. And people were saying things like, you know, well, Paul's the one who led me to Christ, so I'm really awesome because it was Paul, or Apollos led me to Christ. He's the best, and so my salvation is really, really good. It'll stick with it. And things like that. And Paul wants to kind of correct their viewpoint, their perspective. And so if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. You can kind of follow along. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 6, where Paul says, he says, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Now listen to this, what he says. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. What I love about what Paul does in this little bit of his letter to the church at Corinth is he puts things into perspective. He puts transformation and life change into perspective. You see, in verse 11, he says the thing that is kind of the clincher, that there is no other foundation that can be laid other than Christ Jesus. There's no other solid ground. There's nothing else that we can stand on and be secure and be firm other than that foundation of Christ Jesus. You heard it in the testimonies today, didn't you? You heard people bear witness that Jesus is the solid foundation that they can get their footing on. And there's no other foundation. You can't lay a different foundation than that of Jesus Christ. And he says, in backing up into verses 6 and 7, he says it twice. He talks about himself and he talks about Apollos, and there's the assumption of all these other people who God is using to spread his word and spread the gospel. But he says that God is the one who gives the growth. I don't grow anyone. You and I are messengers. We don't grow people. It is God who gives the growth. You see, there's nothing that comes back on us that says, well, Matt's great because there's someone who grew because of him. No, it's not because of me. It's because God gives the growth. Simply, if I'm laying the foundation of Jesus Christ, if I'm firm in that foundation and I'm preaching Christ, then God gives growth. And I love how the rest of this little chunk of the letter, of the passage, that basically Paul doesn't say that, I mean, you look at that, Jesus is the foundation, God gives the growth. Well, what do we do then? Are we just kind of in the margins? Well, the whole rest of the passage, he says that you and I are the servants, we're the workers, we're the laborers.
Paul even says about himself, he says, I've been gifted by God in being able to plant churches. He says, like a master builder. And then he says, and like Apollos is gifted in strengthening the growing or the struggling church. He says that he's able to do that, and that's what God has gifted him in. And he says, but see, it's not that we're anything special. We're the laborers, we're the workers, we're the servants who come alongside. And as Jesus is the foundation and God is the one who gives growth, we come alongside and meet each other on the journey. You see, what we do in one another's lives is valued as far as it is focused on Jesus Christ, the foundation, and is effective as far as it is connected to the growth that God gives. Because you see, it's not about us, it's not about me. And you and I don't cause growth in other people. We come alongside of what God is doing. And so you see, baptism is that public reminder for us so that when we face difficulties, as you heard, Jesus doesn't mean all your difficulties go away. But when we face difficulties, others can remind us who we are and to whom we belong. We belong to Jesus and we are in him. And we are made righteous. You see, what we see today is the stories of lives being founded on Christ and given growth by God. Every story was a story of someone whose foundation is now Jesus Christ. As they attested to it, that they've surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ and that they are now founded on Christ. And as they grow, like even 2 years of growth have come from God. That God has grown those people. But you see, in these stories are also stories of people like you and me. Stories of parents who are walking along with God and their children seeing Jesus in them. And stories of children walking with God and their parents seeing Jesus in them. The story of widows who lost their husbands, who are walking with Jesus and showing Jesus to daughters who lost their dads. That's what this is about. That's what Paul is talking about. That Jesus is the foundation and God gives the growth. And we are called together to model Jesus and to be Jesus to those around us. It's not our responsibility to cause people to grow or make decisions like Mason knows. It's not his responsibility to give the growth, but he walks in faithfulness with Jesus. Probably somebody that the history books will never really make a big deal about. But a guy named Edward Kimball, he was simply a Sunday school teacher teaching a group of hyper annoying little boys. I could never do that. I would quit church if that was my job. I don't think it would work. But here Edward Kimball was teaching these boys and was loving them in the name of Jesus and modeling Jesus to them. And there was one particular boy who just wasn't quite getting the message of the gospel. So he continued to pursue this young man, and eventually Dwight gave his life to Jesus. And so Dwight L. Moody then grew up and became one of the most spectacular evangelists in modern history. And D.L. Moody was instrumental in the life of another man named Wilbur Chapman, who went on to become an evangelist. And he had the opportunity to influence a professional baseball player named Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday was so overwhelmed with the gospel, like you even saw some people overwhelmed with the message of Jesus up here this morning. He was so overwhelmed that he went out and founded some evangelistic clubs in different places. And at one of those evangelistic clubs, a guy named Mordecai Haim came to Christ. And Mordecai Ham, through his evangelism, came across a man named Billy Graham. And Billy Graham came to Christ through that ministry. Billy Graham passing away and seeing Jesus face to face this past week. Everyone knows who Billy Graham is. But you know where it started? It started with Edward Kimball. A guy who showed up and worked in children's ministry and taught some boys who could hardly pay attention the gospel of Jesus. You see, that's our story, isn't it? That God began pursuing me long before I even existed. God had a plan to pursue me, and he had people that he wanted to use in my life. God began pursuing you long before you were born. And he started putting people in place to intersect your path to be Jesus in your life. Because Jesus is the foundation. God gives the growth. And we are the workers in the field building God's building, which is you and me, on the foundation that is sure. We're going to share communion this morning together, which I think is awesome, because what better day to celebrate the Lord's Supper than a day that we celebrate the transformation and how God works in people's lives. Where baptism is that public confession of who we've surrendered to, and while baptism is that reminder that when difficulties come in life, that we are reminded of who we are and who we belong to, and we share communion, reminding us of who we are with, who God has placed in our lives, the greater family that we draw strength from, the family that God has surrounded us with, the family that has been instrumental in our coming to Christ, and our growth in Christ and our discipleship. That Jesus, when he was facing the most difficult moment of his life, brought his disciples around him and said, I want to share this with you. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. And when you do this, I want you to remember that I gave myself for you to be the foundation. Then he took the cup and he passed it and he said, this is in remembrance of my blood that was shed for you, so that you can be forgiven, so that you can have life. And as was stated earlier, that you can live with me forever. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and they're going to pass the bread, and you can take and hold it, and we'll take it together as a family. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I come before you this morning, and I am so overwhelmed with your graciousness and your mercy and your justice. God, in this mess of life, you are good. And God, in every single thing that happens in my life, there is an evil design and there is a good design. And I pray, Father, this morning that we have heard the struggle and we have seen the mess. And Father, at the other side of that is the glory of Jesus Christ, who is an unshakable foundation. And God, I thank you for growing us and for bringing us together to journey together and to walk humbly with you together, influencing one another for the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.